Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I am John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, January 27, 2017. A new report says the South Sudan Army deliberately inflates its size to receive more money from the government.
On the payroll, the government is paying the salaries for twice that number. So we have, on the payroll, we have about 250,000 soldiers. In reality, it should be 100,000.
And Kenyan authorities say they don't know where the two Sudanese who were reported missing this week in Nairobi are.
He ordered for this chief investigator to come to court next Tuesday and present the findings of his investigation into the whereabouts of Dong Samuel and Agre Itri.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A senior principal deputy registrar of High Court in Kenya has ordered the Nairobi County Criminal Investigative Officer to look into the disappearance of Samuel Dong and Agre Itri Isbon. The two South Sudanese were reported missing in Nairobi earlier this week. Elizabeth Deng is Amnesty International's researcher for South Sudan. Deng says the case is attracting the attention of the international community. She says a Kenyan court has ordered several high-profile Kenyan officials to investigate the disappearances of the two South Sudanese who have been critical of the Kiir administration.
The hearing took place this morning. The two were represented by three lawyers, Eddie Orinda, Harun Dubi, and a lawyer from the Kenya National Commission on Human Rights. They presented the case to the court. During the session, the court adjourned for 30 minutes, first for the government lawyer to make some phone calls and see if she could identify the location of Dong and Agre. She was unable to do so. The hearing resumed, and in the end, the court ordered the county criminal investigative officer to take over the investigation. And he ordered for this chief investigator to come to court next Tuesday and present the findings of his investigation into the whereabouts of Dong Samuel and Agre Itri. He also called on the director of immigration, to ensure that Dong Samuel and Agre Itri are not deported from the country unless due process is followed. He also asked that the police conduct some investigations into a certain telephone number used by an apparent South Sudanese security agent in Nairobi to contact one of the family members of Dong and basically try to solicit money in exchange for information about Dong's whereabouts.
Since the two South Sudanese disappeared, we have not heard anything from the government of Kenya. Did the court say anything about what the government is saying?
Well, during the hearing, there was a government representative, a lawyer representing the government was there. And really all she could say was that, you know, she didn't know where Dong and Agre are. During the brief recess, she made some phone calls and was unable to trace their whereabouts, which is why the judge kind of ordered the investigation to take place at, you know, a pretty high level. This is the, chief investigator for Nairobi County, and then gave them a specific timeline. So asking them to come to court on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. to, you know, provide information about the products of their investigation.
Is there any word from the South Sudanese authorities on the whereabouts of these two individuals?
Well, Amnesty International has not, you know, reached out to them directly for response. I believe some journalists have. In general, they have remained silent about the matter. I do think it's interesting to note, you know, that this phone number, that the judge, you know, ordered that the police investigate the phone number of an alleged South Sudanese security agent. I think the over 100 people in the courtroom, the family members and supporters of Dong and Agre, that this was really kind of a, you know, there was a a big sense of relief about this. You know, of course, over the past couple of years, and especially since the deportation of Gaddafi, there have been heightened fears among South Sudanese in Nairobi, particularly ones, you know, who oppose the current government due to the presence of security agents operating within Kenya.
From my understanding, Samuel Dong has a refugee status in Kenya, which he got in November of last year. Is there any word from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees on this development?
They have not made a public statement, to my knowledge, but Amnesty has been in close communication with the Protection Department. And, you know, we know that, you know, to the highest levels that their country representative, you know, has been making overtures to the Kenyan government, making inquiries. And they, you know, have also been checking various police stations and at times monitoring the airport, really, you know, making an effort to assist in locating the whereabouts of Dong Samuel, but really, you know, haven't found any trace of him. A UNHCR representative was also present during the hearing. So they are monitoring this case closely because to send Dong back to South Sudan would be a violation of refugee law.
That's Elizabeth Deng, Amnesty International researcher for South Sudan. She was speaking to me from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi, earlier today. A report by the Washington-based Enough Project is accusing the SPLA of inflating the size of its military to increase budget allocation and incomes for top leaders in the army. The rights watchdog says this has created major organizational weakness and more opportunities for corruption in South Sudan. Ayen Bior has more from Washington.
Tens of thousands of names of ghost soldiers were added to the army payroll in South Sudan, according to the Enough Project's 15-page report called Weapons of Mass Destruction. The report accuses the SPLA of inflating the size of its army on paper to be allotted more money from the government. Brian Adeba, Associate Director of Policy at the Enough Project, says the practice enriches a few people at the top of the leadership chain within the SPLA structure.
On the payroll, the government is paying the salaries for twice that number. So we have, on the payroll, we have about 250,000 soldiers. In reality, it should be 100,000.
The report points to the 2014-2015 fiscal year budget, which shows that there are just over 238,000 security personnel in South Sudan. Inflating the size of the army allows more army wages and salaries, according to the Enough Project. The Enough Project points out that while a few South Sudanese senior soldiers benefit directly from the bigger budget, many soldiers have gone unpaid since 2006. Adeba says pulling off this level of corruption needs support from government officials.
If you're a commander and you're going to include fake names on the payroll, you actually need the collaboration of accountants and bookkeepers and other people in the system. So there's a network. So how do you gain that collaboration? You got to pay them something. You have to pay them off.
The report says South Sudan's security budget tripled between the 2013-2014 budget cycle in the 2014-2015 fiscal year. It then fell by 16% during the 2015-2016 fiscal year. Adeba says the government spends at least 40% of its budget on military and security.
But it doesn't benefit the country because obviously, if you look at spending on the military, over 40% of South Sudan's budget goes to the SPLA. It could be less than that. And if the ghost army, if these other people are not on the payroll, if these fake soldiers are not on the payroll, the budget could be less than that. And if the budget, say, becomes less by 20%, then we can say this 20% of these 40 could have been used for other things, for building roads, for building hospitals. But that's not happening. The fake names benefit a few. And that is not trickling down to anybody. It's just to their own pockets.
During a week that has seen a flurry of activity on Capitol Hill and the White House with President Donald Trump's cabinet nominees and various executive orders, including building a wall on the Mexican border, the new report is urging the 45th president to add one more executive order, this one on South Sudan. The INEF project says it should, quote, make public corruption and misappropriation of state assets grounds for sanctions, end quote. Adeba says corrupt practices in South Sudan proliferate violence, which can lead to instability and state collapse, which could impact the entire region, as well as the United States.
Ungoverned spaces are dangerous to the national security of the United States because of the emergence of potentially of actors who can threaten United States interests in the region. And that's why it's important that the United States must act. But not only that, just from a humanity perspective, war perpetuates death and suffering. And if we care about other human beings, we must do something to alleviate their suffering.
Adeba says the money being funneled and mismanaged by leaders into the army could have been redirected to build schools, roads, and hospitals. SPLA spokesman Lul Roy could not be reached by phone for comment on this report. Government spokesman Michael McQuay did answer his phone but could not comment in time for this show. Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
Hundreds of Imatong State employees welcome a move to promote officials to a higher pay grade. State authorities say most civil servants have worked for years without a promotion, making it difficult to employ fresh university graduates. As Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit, hundreds of unemployed youth are hoping to be hired for new jobs opening within the state government.
Imatong state officials announced Wednesday over state radio, the voice of Eastern Equatoria, that civil servants starting from grade 6 will be promoted to higher grades of 5, 4 and 3, and their salaries will be increased. Grades 4, 5 and 3 employees will be paid monthly salaries of up to 5,000 South Sudanese pounds, which is equivalent $47 per month. Authorities say many state employees are leaving their jobs because they have worked for years without a promotion. Imatong State Minister of Finance Albino Okeng says the state took the action because it wants to motivate civil servants and boost their morale.
Some people have stayed for up to 30 years without promotion. And you see, this is the surest way of paralyzing civil service. So now we decided that we must have a motivated civil service that will be able to implement the policies we have designed for ourselves. That's why I presented this memo.
Some civil servants say the higher grades and salaries will not help employees put food on the table for their families because of the increasing economic crisis in the country. Livia Yange is one of the civil servants with the Imatong State Ministry of Finance. She says such promotions would make a very difference in the lives of the employees.
The uplifted grade is good, but if the market was good, this increased money would make a difference, as it is. When you take 1,000 South Sudanese pounds to the market, you will buy things that do not even fill a basket. If the market was good, this increase would make us happy. But with the situation, even if they increase it slightly more, people will not be happy. The money will get finished in one day, and you will get back to the street looking for something to eat.
In South Sudan, many youth aspire to work for the government, but they are often not given the opportunity. Emmanuel Edward is a graduate of business administration from the University of Bahr Ghazal. He says ever since he graduated in September and applied for jobs, he never got close to a job interview.
Actually, it is not easy to get a job in this state. They find us a lot of advertisements, but once you apply, you will not get, really, you will not be shortlisted. So that is a problem. We are really facing a lot of problems in this state. Actually, I'm holding a bachelor degree in business administration, and I graduated from the University of Bahr Ghazal last year, September. And since I came, I dropped almost 9 applications to different various organizations, both organizations and government. And none of them came to be called for interview and forward.
Ohitai Cipriano Patrick is another resident looking for work in Torit. He says most youths have given up hopes of getting a job with the government or aid agencies operating in the state.
Getting job here probably is a tug of war. It's a tug of war. Why I say so? Because with a lot of corruption that is here, the qualified youths are reluctant. When you try to look around like those who are making bad border. These are diploma holders and degree holders. And when you try to move around within all these offices, you find those one with certificate and those one even with the, maybe O level, they are there. But people who have high capacity are just left around. They are roaming within the town of Torit without job.
Taban James is another youth in Torit who says unless employers stop employing relatives, many graduates will continue to be jobless.
They are doing things in technical know-how. If you are known somewhere, that's where you could get. There are very many youths actually who have already finished their studies. They are roaming around without any job.
State Finance Minister Okeny says the state hopes promoting its employees will create job opportunities for new graduates, and older employees will have to retire.
This also will allow us to recruit the youth, the graduates who are now roaming streets without jobs. We feel that there will be an opening for us to recruit the young graduates into the civil service system. This was the reasons why we decided to promote our civil servants. We'll do in phases. Now we have phase one, we are promoting people to super scales. Phase two, we will promote people to middle-level management.
The minister says Imotong Estate will use the local tax revenue to complement the budget. He did not explain why it took so long for the government to promote civil servants. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, critical drug shortages in Abyei are forcing patients from near and far to go without life-saving medicine. That story is coming up next.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you love most about where you grew up?
I love the culture and the environment. They taught me a lot of things which I still think and feel they are so useful. Where I am, I grew up in the village and I got to learn about my culture.
We had an extended family, especially in the holidays. We could have many kids around, we could pray, we could have fun, we could do everything together.
It was peaceful and loving. I just can't trade that for anything.
What I love most about Kampala, just exposure. I've learned many things. It being a capital city, a city center, we meet very many people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Residents in the disputed Abyei region say severe shortages of medicine is affecting patients at health facilities. Health officials in the area say more than four health centers around Abyei have closed due to lack of medicine. For VOA, Michael Atit has more on that story from Juba.
70-year-old Ring Malwal Deng brought his 14-year-old child to Abyei Civil Hospital 2 days ago, where the child was diagnosed with malaria. Speaking in Arabic, Malwal says the doctor prescribed anti-malaria medicine, but the hospital has run out of syringes. And Deng says he cannot afford to buy them from the market.
Since yesterday, he has been shivering because of malaria, and we did not even got medicine for him. Now doctor had prescribed the medicine, but there is no medicine in the hospital unless I have to go to the market. I don't have any money. Now what I'm going to do to my child?
32-year-old Abyei resident Malek Motok Malek escorted his 17-year-old sister to the hospital. Malek says his sister has been at the hospital for a week, but her condition remains the same. Speaking in Arabic, he says many children in Abyei are suffering from malaria, typhoid, and uncontrollable coughing.
Nowadays, there is a lot of malaria, including other diseases. Many families are suffering because there is no medicines in the hospital. We need medicines. We cannot travel from here to Wau or Juba.
Malwal and Malek are asking the Abyei administrative area officials and international humanitarian organizations to provide local hospitals with medicines, syringes, and other basic hospital items. Alier Marco Deng is the director of Abyei Civil Hospital. Deng says for the last 2 weeks, the hospital has had no basic medicines such as antibiotics and artemisinins for malaria. Speaking in Arabic, he says malaria, typhoid and diarrhea are common elements among civilians, especially children.
Diarrhea and vomiting sometimes is caused by malaria as well. Now it has become common among the people. At the moment, as I speak, we don't have drip. We are giving the patients ORS instead. The situation is bad.
Deng confirms that many people have been fleeing violence from surrounding areas, which has drained the hospital's medicine supply. He says, unless additional quantities are brought from Juba, people will continue to suffer from many life-threatening diseases in Abyei.
People are now many because others came from other states like Wau, Kwadjok, and other areas. That is what has made the shortage of medicines. What had been planned for is now over.
Deng is also urging humanitarian organizations to come and support hospitals' needs in Abyei and the surrounding areas. Mayan Manjur Mayan is a pharmacist working in Anet. Speaking in Arabic, Mayan says there is also a shortage in medicine because roads from Wau, Awil and Sudan are not safe and the flow of supplies has dropped. Speaking in Arabic, he says that has driven up prices so many families cannot afford to buy the medicine their loved ones need.
Many patients are facing a lot of problems of accessing medicines and many of them are not able to buy from the market. Sometimes we do give those who are really suffering. If they pay us, it is okay. But sometimes they don't bring our money and we don't complain.
Mayan says prices of medicine has skyrocketed in recent months. He says a course of malaria early last year was 80,000 Sudanese pounds, but now it is sold at 200,000 Sudanese pounds. An antibiotic for a bad cough used to cost 20,000 Sudanese pounds, but today is sold in the market for 100,000 Sudanese pounds. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
One South Sudanese model is making headlines in Uganda. Susan Anyon Asholan is gracing newspaper pages and making guest appearances on TV shows in the Ugandan capital, Kampala. Anyon, who hopes to win a TV show competition in August, says she will use modeling to deliver her message of hope to fellow South Sudanese around the world. Mungume Devs Rokarinj has more for VOA from the Ugandan capital, Kampala.
Let's go. Like I say, non-stop. When you guys reach there, 1, 2, 3, and let's go. 1, 2, 3, very fast.
Every Tuesday and Friday, 19-year-old Susan Anyon Asholan models at Makerere University Poolside Hall in Kampala. Beauty pageant coach Ronnie Subuga works for Crystal Models Africa, a Ugandan-based modeling agency. He gives instructions to Anyon and other models.
Many times when you're walking, please know it at the back of your mind. You're selling a product. Once you're selling a product, people don't want to see a lot of who you are. People don't want to get to know who you are. All they want to see is that you can actually sell a product. The product at this time is an outfit that maybe you are showcasing. It can be any kind of attire. Two, there are different kinds of attires you're going to be selling. Though in the process of selling it, you're also showcasing off your talent as a model. That means your attitude is involved, your whole body is involved. You have to show your physique. If you're a male model, a lot of skin is going to be noticed, even the girls. That means you have to be as confident as possible. So I want to see a lot of that once you're walking.
With her towering height of 5 feet, 11 inches, Anyon has become one of the most popular models in Uganda. But life was not always so glamorous for Anyon, who lost both her father and mother at age 5. Her paternal uncle and stepmother took care of her, paying for her school fees in Uganda. Each holiday, she would go back to Rumbek before fighting erupted in late 2013 between President Salva Kiir and his former deputy, Riek Machar. In Uganda, Anyon says some people harassed her because of her dark complexion. She says that did not upset her because she loves her skin color. At age 12, while studying at Margaret Grand Preparatory School in Mutungo, a suburb of Kampala, Anyon discovered her modeling talents, and it soon started paying off. She was voted Miss South Sudan Kisubi High School in 2014.
Being the fact that I lost my parents, I always look for a way of being up there in the society to communicate with my people, because I wanted to let people know that dark skin is not a shame of bondage, but it is a glorious symbol of African continent. So I tried my best, but there is no way people would hear me without being there out. So I want to create, to be a role model to some people, to the young youth, so that they will love what I do, and therefore I can stand for them and tell them dark skin is beautiful, and they will believe.
Her coach, Nsubuga, says he's impressed with the talent he has seen in Anyon.
I would say she has a character whereby she is willing to do anything. She's in a competition right now, some competition of models, and every day some casting agent is always telling me, Susan is going up and up and up and up. That means her character is really willing to learn every day.
Kande Okuga is another model with Crystal Models Africa. The 21-year-old Bachelor of Science in Quanta Surveying student at Chambogo University says she has learned a lot from Anyon.
She has a strong personality, and I think modeling is basically about that strong personality. So I look at her and I just admire her. I admire her work, I admire her personality, I admire her attitude.
Within 1 year, Anyon was asked to take part in both local and international modeling shows in Kampala.
I've done all the major shows in Uganda. I did Kampala Fashion Week, I did Air Bryant's, I did Bayimba Show, which is an international show. I also did some shoots for the magazines like African Secret Magazine. And now I'm on a show called Runway Hits. It shows on NTV at 7:30.
Runway Hits is a popular model show broadcast on Uganda's popular NTV. Similar, the US show, America's Next Top Model. Anyon says that show's producer, supermodel Tyra Banks, is a role model. America's Next Top Model is an American reality television series in which a number of aspiring models compete for the title of America's Next Top Model and the chance to launch their career in the modeling industry. Until August, Anyon will be competing against 100 top models in Uganda, and she believes she will match the winner and walk away with various prizes, including a new car. Anyon says she uses her modeling income to pay for a tuition at Makerere Business School, where she studies accounting.
At this point, there are no people who pay my school fees, but I do it my own. I transport myself. I don't look back at my stepmom, who has been there for me when I'm young. I don't look back to her and I'm like, I need transport, I need this, like any other teenager, but I support myself.
Anyon believes one day peace will return to her country, and she'll be able to start a modeling agency there and empower other young South Sudanese girls to accomplish their dreams. For VOA News, I am Mugume Davis Rwakalinj in Kampala, Uganda.
That positive story from Kampala about South Sudan brings us to the end of our show for today. We now leave you with a remix of the song Vulindila by Brenda Fassi. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Have a peaceful weekend and join us on Monday for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.